hi there, and welcome to your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and I hope you don't get started with your weekend yet, because I need you to weigh in on this topic. It's an easy question, but you got to think about it for a little bit and see what side you fall on, and let's talk about it. And why is that? Okay, here we go. We're going to dive right in. Are you an optimist or a pessimist? Do you look at the glass half full, half empty, negative, positive? You get the picture. Has anybody ever said to you, boy, you're such a positive person? Could you share that with us? Maybe some people have said to you, even family members, you're always negative. What's the matter? You're always picking on things. Okay, maybe that's you. But, you can keep the private details to yourself, but we'd love... We'd love for you to step up though and share your story so we can learn more about being an optimist or a pessimist. So you don't have to be Catholic to call in. I do need you to give us your take before you start the weekend. So we're already a couple minutes into the show. That means that the phone lines are open just for you. And I'd love for you to answer by calling or texting to this number, 1-833-288 EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Today is the feast day of Saint Charbel Maclouf. I like to say Saint Charbel. It kind of rolls. I love that. I love this is a great saint. If I had my video on today, I'm a little bit under the weather. You would see that I have two saint cards of Saint Charbel, and I just think he's an amazing saint. I tribute so many miracles to him, as people do from around the world. I've been to the healing masses of Saint Charbel, and it's just, I have to say, when I was going through the eye troubles in 2024, 2025, he was right there. He was just an incredible saint. And today is the feast day. It's also a couple birthdays today. Our producer Michael's mom, Kathy, it's her birthday today. So if you're listening, Kathy, happy birthday. What a great day to be born. And you get to share it with Saint Charbel. And our dear friend Laura Sweet, as she's been with us from the very beginning, she's a dear friend of mine and Jerry's. And Laura and Glenn live in Nebraska now, and they listen to Take Two. And it's Laura's birthday today, too. So happy birthday, Laura. I know she listens. So what a great day. I just love St. Charbel. And it's a great day to be born. It's a great day to be alive. And it's a great day to be positive, right? So are you an optimist or a pessimist? Be honest. Fess up. Glass half full, half empty. Phone lines are just starting to light up. You could call or text to this number. We have Matt on the phones, Michael at the controls, and Rich on social media. Please answer honestly, but give us some of the reasons why, the background story. Maybe you're a pessimist because your whole life things have happened and you're like, I'm just going to be a realist. I'm just going to call it the way it is. I'm not going to sugarcoat things. And it's not that I'm trying to be negative, but I'm just going to say it like it is. And too bad if anybody can't handle it. Maybe as an optimist, you're like, no, I'm going to find the joy in everything. I'm going to be positive. I just want to look for that silver lining. I want to look for the things that are good, true, and beautiful. So share with us where you fall in which camp. Okay, for me, remember, we always answer here on the show team so that you can kind of get a head start and get your call in. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Please pull over safely to the side of the road. Make your phone call. I'll go as fast as I can to get as many calls in as possible. For me, am I optimist or pessimist? I would say I fall on the positive side. I'm a glass, half full person. Have I always been that way? I think so. I think I have always been that way. I mean, I can be negative, but I try not to fall in that camp because I really want to look for the things that can go well and be positive. So I would say I'm an optimist. I'm a glass half full person. And I look towards that and I like to build on that. That's just the way I work best. I don't do really well around people that are negative all the time. It can be a downer. And how about for you? Maybe that's why you chose to be an optimist, because you hung out with a lot of negative people and you're like, I don't want to be like this. I see the reaction from other people. See, we cover this from all angles. Please, on this beautiful feast day of Saint Charbel Maclouf, just a beautiful saint that has, I think, you know, tens of thousands of miracles attributed to his intercession. It's really incredible. I have the oil from the healing mass that I got a couple years ago, and I feel pretty close to the saint. And I think on this feast day, we should really show up strong. So could you please weigh in? And if Kathy or Laura are listening, the birthday girls, please call in and share what you're doing for your birthday, because it's your special day. Or if it's your birthday, call in and we can do a shout out to the world for you. I put everybody in the prayer book. So Kathy and Laura in the prayer book for their birthdays. Those that are calling in are in the prayer book. We are getting the phone lines lighting up, but I do need to hear from you. So really simple question. Are you an optimist or a pessimist? Which one are you? What camp do you fall into? I can tell you, if you're part of some of these food fights on social media, you're probably a pessimist because it's all negative. So you can be honest about it. You know, just keep the names private. I don't want you to out anybody, but I do need you to weigh in. Call or text to this number, 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I wanted to let everyone know we're well over 200 fine souls that have joined the free Stand Tall community, where we are trying to, we're calling it Heal the Rift, where we're trying to help families heal from estrangement, no contact, parental alienation. Dr. David Anders and I are having a free webinar on Tuesday evening. So we need you to sign up for the Stand Tall free community. You'll get the alert for the free webinar. You can join it or you can listen to it later. But the community's at standtalltoday.com. Standtalltoday.com. Because it ties in very much to this topic, because if you've ever been estranged from a child or grandchild, you know that there's a lot of negativity floating around. It's really, really tough. So please join us. We'd like to really get that number up to like 1,000 people so we can really make them have a movement in the country to really heal the families, okay, and help unite families. So join us. But today is, are you an optimist or pessimist? Please call in 833-288-3986 or text to that same number and I'll be right back. Well, I'm asking the question today, are you an optimist or pessimist? Do you look at things with the glass half full or half empty? You hear that all the time. You know, and really take kind of an inventory of yourself and see where you land, and then call it in and tell us and be really honest. Grace, you're going to start the discussion in just a moment. I shared about Saint Charbel McLuff. Today is the feast day of this great saint that so many, you know, tens of thousands of miracles have attributed to his intercession. Learn about the lives of the saints, please. And I also shared I shared about being born on this day, and so it's important because that's also, you can lean on these saints about that they could be your patron, right? So like, for instance, it's so cool when we know that we can dive into the lives of the saints and we can pick out certain elements and then apply it to our lives, right? But also ask that saint to join us to really enhance our spiritual life. Okay. And the saints will, they're very active. So like tomorrow, let me give you an example of this. Tomorrow is Saint James the Greater. Okay. And Saint James the Greater is July 25th. His feast day is tomorrow. And as you know, he was the first apostle to be martyred around 44 AD. So the first apostle to be martyred. So that's a very interesting position to be in as a follower of Jesus. He was the brother of John and the son of Zebedee. And also, interestingly enough, that his relics and where he was said to rest is in Spain. And when you hear a lot about the Camino, right? Walking the way of St. James, the Camino. That serves as the high point for travelers completing the Camino, is where the relics are. So that's really cool. There's so many connections. Really, I know it seems like almost too simple to get into the lives of the saints, but we need them right now. We really do. We're in a whole heap of trouble down here, and we need the saints to really step in, and they want to be our friends, and we should definitely be open to that. So that's tomorrow for a feast day, and then on the 26th is Saints Joachim and Anne. So that's just an incredible feast day on Sunday. Okay, I have a couple open phone lines. You guys are scared to call, aren't you? I just feel it. You don't want to say, I'm a pessimist. You think I'm going to be really rough on that. No. I'm very, you know, listen, I'm not feeling that good. So I'm very kind of calm and chill today. So please call in. Are you an optimist or pessimist? Let's just talk about it. Okay. We're not going to have an argument or anything. I'm not going to try to change your position. Well, maybe I will. Okay. And the number is 1-833-288-EWTN. You can call or text to that number, 833-288-3986. We had a couple that called in and then dropped off. I think you might be going to texting. That's fine, but I'd love to hear your beautiful voice. So let's go to Grace in Owensboro, Kentucky, waiting so patiently on Savior Radio Network. Hi, Grace. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Okay, what are you?
Okay, I would say that now I feel like I'm more of an optimist. I feel like in this world, it's really easy to be a pessimist. I feel like a lot of things sort of beat us down, and especially the people that we're surrounded with. Like, I used to surround myself, and I still have some friends that are very negative and very judgmental of people, and it's very hard to not be like that when you're around so many people that are like that. And I sort of grew up, not to say I had a rough childhood, it just wasn't the greatest. My dad was on drugs on and off, and my mom struggled with not really staying faithful, and so they were always fighting. I talk about it like a roller coaster, like it was up and down, and so I never really felt like I could be optimistic because I was always waiting for that drop off in my life. But I feel like now that I've found the Lord, and I became Catholic about, I think, 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. I found the Lord and I found His Word, and I've sort of begun to surround myself with these people that just radiate Jesus, and it's just so beautiful to be around, and it brings me so much joy. And I feel like that has led me to be able to look at things beautifully, because God is everything is in His time, everything is in His plan, and so if something happens that's not good, I just take a breath and say, this is what God wanted for me. It's obviously going to have something beautiful at the end, so I feel like you just got to look at things, try to change your perspective and look at things in a more beautiful way.
I love that. You know, as I was hoping you would use the word joy at some point when you were talking about your journey, because I this morning in preparing for this episode, I was looking up scripture passages on joy, and there's so many of them where there's a reference to joy, and it's important. We as especially Catholics, and welcome home, Grace, 2 years ago. That is awesome. But it's so important, we as Catholics especially, that we hold on to that joy, and like you said, radiate that joy, go out there and be Christ in the world and spread that joy, because if we don't, we have a lot of grumpy Catholics out there, and quite honestly, it's not appealing. It's very, people are like, well, you're supposed to have, you know, the fullness of truth. You're supposed to have everything. Why do you look so angry? Why are you so down? And so but what you said is so interesting. If you look at the world around us, I mean, social media, everything is negative. Everything.
Yes. So yes, I deleted all my social media apps a little while ago, and I cannot tell you how freeing it has been. I have just, it's been amazing, honestly.
Wow. So was it hard at first?
Not too much. I feel like whenever I've done, over Lent, I'll give up social media just because I don't need to be on it anyways. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I really post on there is I write music and stuff. And so that's the only thing I really post. But I mean, why not just go out there and play music for people and not on social media? So that's the only hard thing about it. But other than that, I mean, it really isn't that hard. I feel like it has brought me, again, so much joy not to be on it, because I feel like on social media, you just compare yourself to other people over and over and over. And it's just so freeing. It's so great. Mm-hmm.
Do you notice too, like I use the term, it's like a food fight on social media. I notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like people just want to attack each other. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It's like, okay, here's my opportunity just to throw an insult out there and I'm going to feel so much better about my day. I mean, don't folks realize that people kind of screenshot these things? You know, these kinds of things are going to always be out there. And so you can't take it back. And it's, to me, it just seems so odd, especially for Christians to partake in some kind of, you know, situation like that. What do you say to that, Grace?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, with the people, like how I was saying, the people I'm surrounded by are so negative. And I feel like social media gives people such an easy target for judgment and negativity and envy. And it's just, I don't know. I just think that it's so much better to just live in your own realm. I've heard that we're not supposed to, like, as a human, we're not supposed to know as many people as we are able to know with social media. and it's sort of overwhelming to our brains that we know all these people mm-hmm. and see all these things when it's not important. The thing mm-hmm. that's important is knowing the Lord and knowing the people around us and having that love in our life and not that hatred and judgment and all the stuff that I think just comes with all of the new technology.
Right. And you know, Grace, one other thing that you shared about your journey, you know, you talked about kind of your tough childhood growing up. Mm-hmm. Has it made you stronger? Were you able to forgive?
Oh, yes. It has definitely made me a stronger person. I've had many people tell me, they're like, I don't know where you came from. because I feel like my mom is still very negative, and it's something that I talk to her about a lot, is just, she can't do anything with the stuff that she has been through, but she can take it and give it to God and say, listen, this all happened for a reason. I'm who I am now, and just let it all go and let God, and just try and change her perspective. And I've talked to her about that many, many times. And I don't know. I just feel like my childhood did shape me a lot. And it gave me resilience to be able to flip things around and see them a more positive way. Cause I'm still here. My parents are still here. We're still, even though they're divorced, I mean, we still see each other. And I mean, it's not the worst it could be. So.
Yeah. You are such a delight to talk to, Grace. I just love your spirit. It comes through loud and clear through the radio. God bless you. You're just a beautiful soul.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you. Thanks for weighing in and leading this discussion. You got the phone lines lighting up, so that was great. Thank you, Grace. Okay, so Grace is going to free that phone line in a moment for you, and you can call in and do exactly what Grace did. Share if you're an optimist or pessimist, and we can talk about it. See, that was just a beautiful discussion. We learned. We had a great time talking. That's what it's going to be like for you. And the number is 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Please fill those open phone lines. And I wanted to say, Mike couldn't hold when he called, but said, I try to be an optimist, but for some reason, other optimists bother me. They kind of feel like saccharine. Okay, so they're like sugary sweet, Mike. They're like totally seeing things in a kind of a little bit of a fantasy way. I get it. Sometimes you can, I totally get that, where Mike is coming from. Because I have some friends that, like, even if something is really brutally horrible, they'll be like, oh, well, you've got to look at the bright side of this. And you're like, I don't think there's a bright side to it. So I get where you're coming from, Mike. That's true. Sometimes I could be a little bit over the top on things. That's a very interesting take on that. Thanks for weighing in, Mike. Okay, so if you want to fill a phone line or text in, it's 1-833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We're asking if you're a pessimist or optimist today, and we're going to go to Joan. Joan is a first-time caller in Colorado on Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Joan. Welcome.
Hi. I think I'm a pessimist. I've been told that I'm negative, but the reason is I think I started out with a very sad thing in my life. My dad died when I was 12, and I was real close to him. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to lose your father when you're that young. Mm-hmm. So I think that I love God and I trust in God, but I think of myself as a realist, not a pessimist. Mm-hmm. But That's it.
Joan, my heart breaks for you because I have a very dear friend that I've had for many years, like 35 years, and she lost her father. He had a heart attack when she was very young as well. And I watched her. I watched her really, you know, it's a tough thing. It's brutal because as a young girl, you need your dad, you know, you want your dad, and your dad's, you know, not there and was gone, you know, very quickly. So that breaks my heart that you went through that. Did it though make you stronger in the long run?
I'm just a strong person. It made me compassionate. My later years at 50, I became a LPN, and I probably should have done nursing earlier. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I raised my family. That was my priority. I always felt that I should be a mother since I was about 5. So, anyway.
Mm. Interesting.
I don't know. I've been very strong my whole life.
Well, you got a great name, Joan. I mean, I'm sure you lean on Saint Joan of Arc. That was incredible. I went to where she was burned at the stake, and oh boy, was it moving. I just, it was so powerful. Joan, let me ask you this question. When you made the comment that people call you or have said that you are negative, why do you think they do that? Because I always struggle when people make comments where they label other people very quickly, because I think we can float around depending on the situation. I don't think we're locked in. I mean, we're just having this for the discussion purposes. But I you know, if you've ever listened to the show for even a couple weeks or months, you'll know that I don't like labeling people. So why do you think they said to you, you're negative? Is it just because you're stating it like it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it in a nutshell. But okay, the thing is I think I float because so many people comment on my smile. I have a smile on all the time. I think about things, I think about like the reality of the world as it is, mm-hmm. is negative. I mean, and I'll discuss that with people, you know. I mean, like things that are happening out in the world, they're so against God. And mm-hmm. Anyway.
And you say it with a smile on your face, right?
Well, no, not that, but, you know, I'm just happy. I say hi to people. I'm an outgoing person, very, very outgoing. I'll talk to anybody, and, you know, I smile.
Yeah.
I guess I must be half full and half empty at the same time.
Well, you're just saying it like it is. I mean, you're telling the truth. I mean, that's, you know, sometimes people can't handle the truth. They really can't. I notice it on social media all the time when somebody will state like an absolute, you just know it's a fact because of all this, you know, research they did, and you can see it and you can do it. You research yourself. And yet people will still argue and still have a problem with it because they can't handle sometimes the facts. So Joan, you're awesome. You know, it reminds me of the scripture passage, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Joan, you're awesome. Thank you so much. Please call us again. And thank you for weighing in on this topic. And I put you in the prayer book as well, as along with Grace. And when I come back, I'm going to get to Lance, another first-time caller, Bernie, Jody, and the others. Keep calling 833-288-3986. Okay, we're talking about being an optimist or pessimist, and I'd love to hear your comments on this topic, and Lance is going to go next, and I just want to get to Carol in Mississippi, who called but couldn't hold as well, said, I'm neither optimist or pessimist. I'm a realist, and I don't like to pretend things are okay when they are not. I also think it's judgmental to label people as negative. I totally agree, Carol. I would never say to someone, oh, you're so positive. I would say you're positive because I think that can help promote more positivity. But I don't like to say, oh, you're so negative. It can be difficult to be around all negative people, though, because it kind of overwhelms you. But I agree, Carol, being a realist, you remind me of my husband. That's what my husband says. He's neither an optimist or pessimist. He's a realist. I personally think that my husband, Marty, sometimes lands a little bit on the negative side because he's worked in real estate his whole life. And so he's always kind of looking for that problem or that situation to happen. So I think he goes there first, whereas I tend to go, oh, everything will be okay. You know, that type of thing. Anyway, let's go to Lance. Lance is a first-time caller in Oklahoma, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Lance. Welcome.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Not too bad.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. So what's your take on this?
So I going off like Carol said about being a realist, I completely understand that, but I've always said this, and so it's funny that me and Mom heard your talk in the car, your question. I've always considered myself a realist optimist, and being a realist is all about just seeing the problem where it's at, or seeing life where it's at. Mm-hmm. Don't look at it any other way, see it where it's at, and then how are you going to overcome that problem? Being in an optimist state of mind, or being in a pessimist state of mind. And mm-hmm. to me, I guess I'm coming from the angle of like overcoming issues or overcoming any adversity in your life. Mm-hmm. But see life where it's at, see the issue where it's at, and then how are you going to overcome that? Because a lot of people with a pessimist mindset, they won't even approach it, or they won't want to try to overcome it. Mm-hmm. If you're a realist optimist, then hey, let's take this head on. Where's it at? And then let's hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's how I operate personally.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you've been through a lot in your life.
We've all been through enough.
Yeah. So have you always taken it on like that and just looked at the situation, you know, sized it up, you know, assessed it, and then created a plan to kind of move through things?
Yes. I mean, for as long as I can remember, I mean, of course, I've been stuck. I've been stuck at times in my life and everything. And there's been some times where I don't even look at the problem at all. And that's mm-hmm. more of like a procrastination viewpoint, which that's a different topic. But As far as any issue or any adversity in life, I've always just seen it where it's at, weigh your problems, and then, hey, if you're going to take it on, why not be an optimist? Because mm-hmm, if mm-hmm. not, then you're not giving it your 100%.
Right, right. And you sound quite young, Lance. What's your age range?
I'm 34.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, you have an older voice, but you're young. So by any chance, your dear mom isn't Abby, is it?
Yes, it is.
I know. Of course, Lance. As soon as I saw it come up on the screen, I was like, okay, is this my Lance? And is Abigail with him? So she's in the car. Yeah. Tell her I love her. She's wonderful. And I miss her on the chats, on the YouTube chats. So tell her to jump in sometimes. I know you guys are busy with family stuff.
She needs to find her way back to that.
Yeah, yeah. But Lance, before I let you go, I'm glad you called in because I think you have so much to offer. We have a lot of young folks listening to Take Two. And Lance, you know it. On Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok, everywhere. It's so negative, Lance. How come your generation can't seem to break free of it? It's like they get sucked into that.
I mean, the way times are now, the infinity scroll is something that has just become part of everyday life. And I also think it's what you put out there towards the algorithm, you know, because everybody's algorithm on like your For You page or something is different. And if you're engaging in politics online, on social media, is probably one of the most I don't think it's the smartest thing to do. I don't think it's a great thing to do. As far as like your news outlets, everything, you need to be picky about where you get your information at. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for instance, like my, I've always said this back when I did public speaking, that like your social media, you want it to be a reflection of of the best parts of you. And what you put out there, that that reflects onto your algorithm and everything and what you look at. And so it, you have to be just a very independent free thinker. Think for yourself. And then choosing not to engage in ignorance. I think that's the biggest thing, and that's the most simplest way to put it, is engaging in ignorance, because that's all it is on social media. For instance, my For You page, I like animals. I like those just wholesome videos of ducks raising a cat, raising a litter of cats or something like that. And then the more you look at it, the more just wholesome things pop up. And so it really, it's self-control of what you look at, what you put out into the algorithm. And then what you engage in, you know, I think engaging in ignorance is an important thing.
Being, you're relatively, you know, young compared to me, because I'm 60 now, Lance, as you know, but but I act young, right, Lance? I act very young. Yeah. I try to hang out with the 30-year-olds, but Lance,
never thought you were 60.
Good. I'll pay you next Tuesday. Okay. But Lance, let me ask you this question. Given you're a very accomplished male, you're in the world, you're living your life, and you're doing so well in life, do you feel there's a lot of temptation out there on social media for young men trying to get their careers in line, get their, you know, life and family and you know, find a suitable spouse maybe, or even pursue a vocation? Do you feel there's so many? I feel like there's temptation everywhere on social media. Can you comment on that? I'd like to hear your take.
Yes, that's all it is temptation. That's all it is temptation. I feel like social media in the realm of content creating and quote unquote influencing, you see the 1% of everything on social media, whether it's bodybuilders, whether it's looks, whether it's whoever it may be, you see the 1% on there, and it's causing kind of like the generation under me, more or less, to think that you can just get behind a camera and make millions of dollars, and that's not how it works out. They think that they have to escape their principles of hard work, discipline, and consistency. And I think that's what everybody has to remember, is that you can't escape life. You can't escape success in life by not being disciplined, by not being consistent, you know? And I think those are just core values that social media and influencing and content creating have caused my generation, or the generation underneath me especially, to escape.
Right. Wow. Wise words, Lance. You are awesome. I'm so glad you were a first-time caller. I hope you call again. This was such a great treat. I was just thinking about your whole family. I follow, you know, your sister's posts on social media, and I just love your family. So give them all hugs from me, okay?
Yes, ma'am. We'll talk soon. Thank you so much, Georgia.
Okay, thanks, Lance. Thank you so much. You are wonderful. You made the phone lines light up. A couple other guys are calling in, so that's good. We want the male take on this, the female take on this. This is very important, because Lance brought this to the table about social media and social media influencers. This is getting into an area where we can really learn and grow on trying to stay filled with joy and rejecting all that negativity that's coming at us online. Thank you again, Lance. Okay, let's hear what Bernie has to say in South Dakota on Real Presence Radio. Bernie, welcome to the program. Oh, we were just connecting. I must have hit the button there. Bernie, I'm so sorry. Bernie, call back. We'll push you to the front of the line from South Dakota. I'm so sorry. In the meantime, as you're trying to call back, let's get to first-time caller Jody in Fairfield, California on EWTN.com. Hi, Jody. Welcome.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I hope you all are having a wonderful morning.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. We always do. And we can spend it with the Take Two family for sure. You go right ahead.
I consider myself a positive realist. I can see the problems, and most problems are just annoyances. And facing them, like Lance said, is the most beneficial, right? You can figure out a solution and then move on. But the other part of it is even the things that make it really painful, in that moment, they are painful, and they do hurt, and it sometimes feels like you're not going to find a way out. But with enough time, most of those really painful moments end up being very life-changing ones that God was only able to show you with time. Mm. And so even in the deep, painful moments of life, I hold on to the fact that I don't know what's going on now. I don't know why it's happening. However, I'm sure with time, because time has taught me this lesson through experience, that I will look back and I'll be like, that was one of the most important things to happen to me at that stage in life.
Wow. Were you always like this, so full of wisdom in this area, Jody? Or did you just go through a series of difficult situations in life that you just said to yourself, you know, like Lance was saying, kind of look at the situation, pace yourself, create a plan? I mean, when did this happen for you? I'm just curious, like this understanding.
I was born into a very traumatic childhood and family dynamic. My father passed away when I was 5, and he was the most stable. My mother was an addicted schizophrenic with narcissistic tendencies, so I required to be the mature one in the family far earlier than I should have been. But also what happens when your childhood is very difficult is as you get older, you know, you're going to have more time to learn from those lessons or not learn. Some people fall deep into addictions and problems to try to cope with it. But if you just, in my case, I leaned in and looked back, and by the time I was a teenager, I was able to see, sure, losing my father was very hard, or being in foster care was hard, or sexually assaulted was very difficult, and things of that nature. But I was also able to see, well, if that didn't happen, then these things wouldn't have happened either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was a lesson I learned very young, many lessons I learned very young. Mm-hmm. And it just meant that once I got older and started to experience other things, it was easier for me to be able to realize this is difficult, but sure, I'm going to survive it. I will come out better on the other end for it. And it might be a mystery, but I'll get there and one day I'll be grateful. And that's been the case 100% of the time.
Wow. You're amazing. You've been through so much, and I could just imagine losing your father at age 5. You had to grow up pretty quickly, didn't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you share with all of us? I don't want to trigger you or re-traumatize or anything. Could you share with us, like, were you close to God at that young age when you lost your father? That you said he was the most stable one, and did you feel the presence of God? Did you know about your guardian angel? I'm just curious, because 5 years old is a tough age.
My family was very, I would say, agnostic at best.
Oh,
I, however, always had a draw to God.
Okay.
Now, as a child, without any consistent stability and no family connections to faith, I was always searching in different outlets, in different religions, anything that was available to me to be able to go, because I always felt peace with God. It wasn't until actually this year I was baptized and confirmed.
Oh, wow.
And that was, you know, a lifelong search through different faiths, trying to find God and not being able to find him in a place that felt true or whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that in the Catholic Church this year.
Beautiful. Welcome home, Jody. That is awesome. Wow. Can you share with us what confirmation, did you pick a confirmation name? I'm just curious what saint you picked.
I picked Saint Germain Cousin.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Wow. So you searched and you came home to Holy Mother Church. That is beautiful. So I see where you're going with this. You know, looking back, all these tough situations we have experienced or have been forced to go through, like in your case, because you were only 5 when all of this started happening. Okay. But now you've brought it to where it's made you the person you are today, you know, very, very
right,
solid in your faith. I think another success story, it's like what I was sharing with Lance. I mean, I think when we go through these trials and tribulations, when we go through these hard times, the twists and turns of life, the really difficult, even traumatic situations, it can, if we choose it to be, if we look at it that way, right, Jody, we can actually make this be a benefit for us in the long run.
One of the greatest blessings that I received through the catechism was this true understanding of the value of a person's suffering and how it can be very useful for not only your own soul, but for others if you offer it up. And that is something that I found nowhere in Protestant churches. And yet it's the most should be the most universally understood thing in humanity, because every human suffers at some point in time. Right. And only the Catholic Church teaches the value of that pain. And we currently live in a time where a lot of faith denominations have this idea that the holier you are, the easier your life will be. And people believe that. And then they're even more hurt because, well, why is my life not easy? Why am I not prosperous? Mm-hmm. Because that mm-hmm. was never what you were here to be to begin with. You were here to be holy.
You're referring to redemptive suffering, and you know, to have it be transformative in the spiritual life of yourself and others for all of eternity. You're spot on. And but in order to do that, Jody, you've got to keep the bigger view, right? Because if you're just looking right. at your if you're looking at your situation, your problems right in front of you, it can be overwhelming. You got to keep that. So many priests are saying this now, and I'm so glad they are. They keep saying, look up when you're in the middle of a storm. Look up. Don't look down. Look up. Because if you stay in the world, it's going to depress you. Jody, you are awesome. Would you please consider calling us again?
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Good. I'm so glad. You really helped this conversation. We're getting a lot of comments coming in. And I thank you so much for stepping in and sharing your wisdom of your lived experience on this. I put everybody in the prayer book, so you're in the prayer book as well, Jody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. You too. Have a beautiful weekend. Okay, so we're going to get to Jackie in just a moment. If you want to really quickly race to the phone, and you probably have the phone right in your hand, just start dialing and you can be the one that closes this episode if you're an optimist or pessimist. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. But you got to hurry. Open line Friday this afternoon is at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We answer all of your theology questions with EWTN's Vice President of Theology, Colin Donovan, who is brilliant. So make sure you tune in this afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, Jackie in Sacramento, California is waiting so patiently, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Jackie. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am an optimist, and through and through, I was raised in a family. My dad was even in the optimist club when I was a young girl and through my teen years, but I've gone through a lot, and my optimism keeps me from horrible sadness. I do get sad, but like recently, I was telling your screener that recently, for the last 6 months, I had been trying to sell my house, and the first offer that I got was from a woman that really loved my house. And she had an all-cash offer, which is almost unheard of. And she lost her job the day that we were going to sign papers.
Oh. Oh, how did you handle that? Oh, Jackie, are you with us? I think, Jackie, you're driving. Can you hear us? Oh, I want to hear the end of the story. So she lost her job, so she couldn't go through with the contract? Oh, I don't think Jackie can hear us. Jackie, if you can pull over safely to the side of the road and call back, that would be great. I'd love to hear the end of the story. Oh, you know, that happens sometimes, you guys. And actually, if you are calling in from a Bluetooth, it's probably best if you do pull over to the side of the road and take it off of speaker and make sure we have a good connection, because I don't like to leave the stories where we don't get the ending. I think Jackie might be calling back, so I'll stall for a little bit. Let me share this with our wonderful Take Two family. Tomorrow is the Spirit World with Father Mike Driscoll, and he is amazing. I absolutely love working with this priest. He is so smart, and he just has a good pulse on things, and I'm learning so much from him, and we're enjoying our conversations that we're having preparing for the episodes. And tomorrow's all about sacramentals. And he is going to share some of the things that he actually just learned about these sacred, beautiful objects. So Sacramentals is tomorrow for the spirit world, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. Okay, Jackie called back. Jackie, thank you so much. I don't want to go into the weekend without hearing the end of the story. So please continue.
Okay, so that was my first offer, was all cash. Well, just about a week ago, it was about 3 weeks ago that I got another cash offer. Unbelievable, right? Mm-hmm. So we went through 2 weeks of craziness with these people. I mean, it was crazy. I stayed on a phone call for like 3 hours with our solar people and trying to help these people understand things, and it was awful. Anyways, they backed out at the last minute, and I was just like, okay, God, I hear you. You don't want me selling my house. I hear you. And so now I'm very much at peace with the whole thing. I'm very much happy with just staying where I'm at. And I'm going to be honest, I've gone through a lot in my life. I lost one of my 4 sons. I lost him to a car accident in 2017. And my husband 5 years ago, and that was in 2017, and now, and my husband in 2021 to pancreatic cancer. And I'll be honest, I even wrote a book about my journey with the loss of my son. And it was, you know, a priest that was a very close friend of mine, Monsignor Tom in Tucson, he said, Jackie, your heart is on every page. And I said, and my soul. You know, so I've gone through a lot, but my attitude has always been, God has prepared all of this for me to just glorify him. And I'm being really honest about that. My friends all know I'm an optimist. They all know that I have a great faith. Otherwise, I would never have been able to get through what I went through, you know? I'm a happy person, and I have found joy in my life again. I did fairly quickly. After my son died, I just went through a really hard time. It was his birthday. So after Frankie died, it was tough. It was really tough. But I'm good, you know, and that's the optimism. So anyway.
Jackie, have you always been a Catholic, or did you come into the church?
Yes. Born and raised.
Okay.
In Tucson, Arizona, and in fact, my Monsignor friend that told me my heart was on every page, he just recently died about 2 months ago, and it just, but he was 87 years old, and that's another one, you know, I mean, he was my mentor, he was just so much, and he was actually an instigator to my marriage with my husband, Henry, I think I have a saint in heaven to ask for more prayers.
Yeah, well, I put you in the prayer book, Jackie, and then you said Henry is your Henry is your husband's name, and your son is. Did you say Frankie?
Yes, yes.
Frankie.
And could you please pray for my other 3 sons to come back to the church, because they've all left, and you know, it's just something. It seems common to this world, you know. But anyway, so if you could put Nicholas, Alex, and David. Nicholas, Alex, and David, in there too. I would appreciate that.
Absolutely. And can you tell me Monsignor's name so we can pray? We always pray for our priests.
His name is Monsignor Tom, and he was a wonderful Irishman, Cahalane, C-A-H-A-L-A-N-E, Cahalane.
Beautiful.
Wonderful, incredible human being.
So, well, God willing, they're all interceding for you, Jackie, and that's why it's keeping that joy in your heart, which is so beautiful. Jackie, can you give me the name of your book that you wrote? I'm just curious. I want to look it up after the show.
Sure. It's called A Mother's Journey of Love, Death, and Forgiveness, because we forgave the young man that truly accidentally, hit my son's car and killed him. And we went to court and got him just 3 years of probation and no felony or anything. And that was our true belief that, you know, we had to forgive him. He was too young, 23 years old. How can you put him in prison?
prison, you know.
Wow. Okay, I'm definitely going to look up your book. That's a powerful, I can see why Monsignor said that. This is powerful, the journey you've been on, and thank you for writing about it so that it could help others. Jackie, you're awesome. It sounds like you're driving safe travels. You've got your guardian angel right beside you. I wish I could talk to you longer, Jackie, but you hear the music. We got to close the episode because Dr. Ray is waiting to come on air with all of us. Folks, thank you so much. This was a great episode to go into the weekend. Tune into the spirit world tomorrow. Don't forget. And on Monday, we're going to be talking about, are you looking forward to retirement? Okay, so please think about that and weigh in on Monday. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed weekend. We'll see you real soon.